Across the ASEAN, only on Money FM 89.3.
To say that this week has been rather eventful for global markets is a bit of an understatement. For one, you have those continued worries about the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic worldwide that's keeping a lot of countries under social restriction movements and lockdowns and depressing the prospect of the world economy and major economies across this region also. And of course, you also had that sudden collapse in oil prices when West Texas Intermediate, for one, turned negative overnight. And because of all of this volatility from commodity space, from the oil space, and the concerns about the COVID-19 pandemic, there are few economies in the ASEAN space more timely to talk about now than Malaysia, with its significant oil and gas sector, and also the current social restriction protocols that are being enacted by our neighbor to the north. Well, across the ASEAN today, we are joined by Mr. Hor Kwok Wai, who's the Managing Director for Global Markets at Hong Leong Bank in Kuala Lumpur. And he's here to give us a better idea of how all of these developments are changing, or perhaps influencing, or changing his outlook on the Malaysian economy and the Malaysian fixed income and currency space. Mr. Hor, thank you so much for joining us today. And I hope you and your loved ones have stayed in good health up in Kuala Lumpur. Good afternoon and welcome back to the show after all these months.
Thank you. It's all good here in Malaysia. I mean, we're all learning to stay at home and not go out too much. So I think it's a big change for everybody, but I think we're all surviving.
And that's all we can hope for at the moment. And we'll survey the economic wreckage when this viral storm passes. But that economic wreckage, though, could actually be substantial for economies across the ASEAN, and Malaysia no exemption. In fact, the Bank Negara Malaysia did announce a few weeks ago that it's bracing itself for the first economic recession in Malaysia since the global financial crisis. Is this pretty much a locked-in certainty? Is this also a view that the fixed income space among Malaysia's bond traders actually shares at the moment? And how is that being reflected?
Yeah, I think as you mentioned, that is something that's already much reported by the central bank. I think that their view is already there, and I think the markets also support their view. As you can see, our bond markets from the peak of the sell-off in mid-March has rallied back by nearly around 80 to 100 basis points, more or less reflecting a possibility of easing moving forward. But the other thing that we have not really seen is, I think, a widening in credit spreads in Malaysia. Credits actually have held up very well in Malaysia. And that's because most of our issuers are very strongly rated AAA local issuers. So that's not really, that recession sort of view has not really gone into the credit markets as yet on the fixed income space.
As we know, the central bank has also indicated that if the downturn becomes worse than expected, they're still willing to act. There's a possible rate cut again next month when they meet, and also the recent lowering of bank reserve ratios to provide liquidity. In fact, we've seen this reflected by markets across the world. QE unlimited in the United States, for one, liquidity unleashed by many central banks across the world. But in your estimates, how effective is this in alleviating long-term economic stress and possible market downturns?
I think Bank Negara has always had a view that putting interest rates too low is not something that it's good for the country. I think even in the global financial crisis in 2008, they only moved interest rates down to a low of 2%. So we are around 2.5% now on the overnight rate after two cuts in January and March. So we're expecting one more cut in May and potentially another cut sometime in the third or fourth quarter of this year, right? So what it does really is, I think it does put a bit more money in the pockets of the corporates for them to invest, for them to spend. But we must also not forget that Malaysia is a very high savings economy, right? So pushing interest rates too low will impact another part of the economy where the savers would have less money to spend, right? So that's why they've always played a balancing act in not pushing interest rates too low, but, you know, somewhere where it's both palatable to both borrowers and depositors. And that's why we think at the current move that they're going to make in the next couple of months, the 2% level seems to be about right. And anything further, lower than that, potentially might be too hard a hit on the depositor and might not then be good for the economy. So we're looking at two more 25 basis points cut.
Are fiscal stimulus measures seen as perhaps the preferred antidote to some of the economic distress in Malaysia? And could some of the stimulus measures and all of this action actually lead to some distortions in the bond space in general? Are there possible risks of distortions because of we haven't seen this kind of action in quite some time, right?
Yeah, I think the first thing for Malaysia, both the Ministry of Finance and Central Bank, I'm sure they place a lot of view on, firstly, our country's rating. I think that that is something that they want to defend very strongly. And that's why you notice even in the recent announcement of stimulus packages, the deficit level has not really gone that much higher. I think they're talking about a range of between 4 to 4.7 now from the finance minister. Right, so they're very cognizant about the fact of our country's rating, and they will do their best to maintain it where it is, and I'm confident that they will succeed. But at the end of the day, this higher deficit still needs to be financed. We have very strong liquid onshore markets. As you pointed out, the statutory reserve ratio was cut, releasing $30 billion of liquidity in there, which will more than cover the amount of additional issuance that's needed. In addition to that, obviously, you know Malaysia has issued very little bonds offshore. Right, they can obviously return to the international markets if they wanted to. I think there is a issuance cap, and we're not that far from the cap, but I think it's a very easy act of parliament to increase that cap slightly to allow the government to tap the offshore markets more. And as you can see from the demand from the Petronas bonds where they issued $6 billion, I think the demand for Malaysia credit is very strong out there, and I'm confident that they will easily issue better both onshore or offshore if they require.
So do you think that this is the time to go into emerging market bonds, like say Malaysia's sovereign bonds at the moment? Some emerging market portfolio managers I've spoken to have said that they're actually being lured by how cheap some of these bonds have become. Is this something that you're advising your clients to look at more and more despite some of the economic uncertainty?
Yeah, I think for our onshore clients, I think quite definitely the rate scenario is still in favor of bonds at the moment. And even, as I said, if you only get 50 basis points cut, I don't believe interest rates are going to go up anytime soon. And definitely, probably in the next 2 years, 2.5, 3 years even. So you got a period of very low interest rates. And so having a bond portfolio, I think, does make sense. Even increasing your bond portfolio does make sense. Now, for the regional players, obviously, they look at relative yield. But in a world where nearly all bond yields are zero, and even a lot of Asian bonds are, you know, between lower than 1%, a yield of around, you know, 2.5 to 3% still looks quite compelling. I think once the oil news blows over, and I think some confidence returns, I think you will see a return of some foreign investors as well, right? Especially when the foreign investors, I believe, are still slightly underweight Malaysia.
Okay, we're still speaking to Mr. Hor Kwok Wai, the Managing Director for Global Markets at Hong Leong Bank in Kuala Lumpur, here on Across the ASEAN. Mr. Hor, the recent collapse in oil prices, I'm sure you, like many others, were monitoring closely when West Texas Intermediate fell into negative territory when the May contract. Malaysia has a significant oil and gas sector. Here in Singapore, one of the more prominent oil traders, I'm sure you've also noticed, is actually under the gun because there are concerns that they're not going to be able to meet. There's about $3.8 billion in debt. I'm talking about Hin Leong Trading there. Are there concerns based in the oil and gas sector in Malaysia that if oil prices continue to plummet and if demand continues to stay at these near zero levels, that you could see some possible credit risks bleed into the oil sector out in Malaysia? Can you comment on this?
Yeah, I think the good news for Malaysia is we don't have many oil and gas issuers. And we obviously don't have as big a trading company as the one in Singapore. And to add to that, we've got a very strong Petronas, the corporate Petronas, mm-hmm. right? As I mentioned earlier, you know, they were able to issue $6 billion offshore. So still a very strong company anchoring the whole oil and gas industry in Malaysia. So that's why on a correlated credit basis, this oil plunge really doesn't give too big an impact to the Malaysia credit markets, because you have a very strong, as I say, anchor, plus there's very little issuance of oil and gas bonds in Malaysia. So I think that market will not get roiled by this period of low oil prices.
Are there any sectors that could actually see more or less risk moving forward out in Malaysia that we should know of?
Well, obviously, some of the retail segments, I think, depending which segment you are invested in. Obviously, again, it's very different. I mean, if retail with a very strong online presence, I think this will survive. I think the old retail type models, I think these are areas where you probably need to be a bit careful if you're a bond investor. But all in all, I think, you know, we look through, I think, the credit space in Malaysia. I think although definitely there will be some inherent weakness exhibited by some names, but I think in general, the bulk of the market should stand up quite well. So far, we've also not had any rating downgrades yet by the rating agencies in Malaysia. These are both the local REM and MARC rating agencies. So far, ratings have stood up quite well. And we don't expect a big change in that sense.
Commodity currencies have been rather volatile and vulnerable to all those movements in the commodity space. We see that the Malaysian ringgit currently trading at 4.40 against the US dollar, and we just softened a touch so far today. What's your outlook now on the Malaysian ringgit? Could they see further weakness given all of these developments and as we wait for this proverbial COVID-19 storm to pass?
Yeah, I think we already have seen a bit of weakness in the last couple of weeks. And also, that's really also in tandem with what you see, I think, regionally and globally. There's been a bit bout of a dollar strength. And you've seen the same thing in Malaysia. We have not really underperformed at all, actually. I think we've done quite well despite where oil is at the moment, right? So I don't see a big move lower, higher in a sense, from here for dollar ringgit. I think, you know, we saw a high of around 4.50, the last move. I don't think that level will be taken out. And then I think if you start going into the second half of this year, and if we can get this COVID-19 under control, lockdown measures slowly being eased, and I think 2021, a lot of forecasts are showing a much better growth Malaysia and then globally, I think the currency can recover a bit from these levels. Right, so we don't see it going past 4.50 and potentially ending the year probably closer to 4.30 level.
All right, and let's hope that bounce back for the global economy and even here across the ASEAN will be sooner rather than later. Mr. Hor Kok Wai, Managing Director for Global Markets at Hong Leong Bank in Kuala Lumpur, please stay safe and in good health, you and your loved ones. And thank you again for joining us today on the program. Have a great afternoon, sir.
Okay, thank you, JB.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.